I walk in, you clap, it's great. I love it. Please stand in body or in spirit. The Lord will do for us what the Lord does.
Feed us, forgive us, help us, and heal us.
Rejoice at all the wonderful things God is doing. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you from the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 103 responsively with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from death, who crowns you.
Who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
He has made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words have the healers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteousness made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they do not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the ones who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, the Holy Gospel. That's the end part, sorry. Got ahead of myself. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, she immediately stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away and give it water to drink? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to you, Christ.
The Lord is wrong about one thing. I do not lead my ox or donkey away to get a drink of water on the Sabbath, as I'm sure most of you don't either. Wow, that joke didn't get any laughs in the other church either. I thought for sure it was just the crowd. It certainly wasn't the joke. Hyundai? Well, it is now since my Ford is no more. But that's a different sermon. What I really have to say today is, you're all just a bunch of extremists. Huh? Anybody here? Yeah? I mean, I'm probably an extremist as well. I inhabit many extremist-type positions. For us, it's got to be either black, or it's got to be white, it's got to be this way, or it's got to be that way. We're in one camp or in the other. It's either red or it's... Nope, not going to go there. But we are. We're a bunch of extremists. On this extreme, there is a woman, and she has been bent over for 18 long years. She has been crippled by this spirit that Jesus later calls Satan. She has been hobbling. She might have a cane. Maybe she's gotten really fancy and we have one of these rollator deals. You know, those ones. Right? She can't work. She can't cook. She can't clean. So not only is she a woman living in the time of Jesus, it's pretty rough being a woman in that time anyway, but she can't do any of the things that make her worthwhile, so she's pretty much just a burden on society, right? And Jesus says, what? No more. No more of this. I will not allow her to be ostracized and looked down upon one more day. This has gone on long enough. And he lays his hands on her. She stands up straight and she praises God. So that's the one extreme. On this other extreme, we have this synagogue leader, this ridiculous synagogue leader, holding tight to his Sabbath laws that allow this woman to be kept bent over. He says,
How dare you praise God on the Sabbath day in the synagogue? We don't praise God in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Of course not. We're Lutherans. We only sing when the words are put on the screen, right? How dare you cure? How dare you heal on the Sabbath? How dare you come to the Sabbath thinking that you might, to the synagogue, thinking you might get healed here? That's not what the synagogue is for. And because we're extremists, we of course take a side. Which side do we pick? Who here sides with Jesus? Good, you fell into the trap. Anyway, we'll get there. We of course side with Jesus because Jesus, as we all know, is always the right answer, right? We scoff at the other extreme. Who is this synagogue leader? We scoff at the other extreme. The leader who was trying to uphold some antiquated law over the detriment of, to the detriment of this woman. How dare you keep this woman bent over? We mock him from our moral high ground, don't we? Because we would never keep people bent over in suffering, would we? We inhabit an extreme over here that is opposite, we think, of the synagogue leader. We think Jesus stands with us on our side. He did, in fact, abolish all of those oppressive Sabbath laws, right? I mean, we wouldn't possibly want a day where we could set aside to do nothing, would we? We stand opposite the synagogue leader, and the result of our extremism is the same. Our extreme keeps women and men and children of all races, creeds, socioeconomic classes, crippled and crushed, bent over, chained, and in bondage. Some worse than others in our society, for sure, but all of us feel its effects. Our society demands that we run this rat race, right? Lucky you all over here, you're just getting started. A rat race. There is no Sabbath in this rat race, no rest in this race. Every man, woman, and child for themselves. The rules are you climb over, you crush, and you destroy. Do whatever you need to do to get to that finish line first. But the problem, the irony here, is that there is no finish line. At least in this life, there is no finish line. We're all just dumb rats running on our hamster wheels until someday... She understood what was happening there. You just keel over in the hamster wheel. The same Satan, the same enemy that inhabits this woman in the synagogue, inhabits not just our minds, but our entire beings, and it has poisoned the collective of this society. The lies of this enemy are as diabolical as they are endless. Unless you, until you possess, achieve, accomplish this or that, whatever this or that might be for you, whatever this or that is, unless you do it, you will never be enough. We become captive to this enemy by giving our ears to his lies, by then spreading his lies. We believe these lies, we repeat them, and then we impose them on our neighbor, and we shackle our neighbor with them, and that's how the world becomes shackled by Satan's lies. What's left then is an exhausted and lied to, lying and lied to society that is scurrying about in our own separate hamster wheels as the enemy holds the cheese out in front of the wheel. You get it? If we're in the wheel and the cheese is in front of it and you're running in the wheel, you're never going to get to the cheese. And that's the devil's trick. And in our reaching and in our stretching for that cheese that we're never going to get to, guess what? Look what's happening.
I'm becoming more and more and more bent over by this world. And to this Jesus cries out to us, no more, not one more day of this. This has gone on long enough. And we call out over here. We're in our hamster wheels. We're spinning. We slow down a little bit. And we're like, Jesus, what are you doing over there? I thought you were over here with us in our extreme. Come to find out, maybe Jesus wasn't with us, or maybe we weren't with Jesus. That's probably the better way to put it. Ought not this woman, Jesus questions, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage on the Sabbath? You see, Jesus isn't setting this woman or any of us free from the Sabbath laws. They're actually a pretty good idea. Jesus is, however, setting this woman free from Satan, from this enemy, who has kept her bent over, who has kept her crippled and bound for 18 long years. Jesus is the one who takes on Satan, who takes on all of Satan's lies, all his empty promises, and guess what? He wins. Jesus is the one who frees us, liberates us, restores us, and makes us whole. He is the only one who can do it. Jesus is opposed to, stands opposite of, all that keeps us, and all means everyone, in bondage and bent over and confined and trapped in figurative and literal cages that this world has figured out how to make. And we're good at making cages. Jesus is opposed to the bondage of this hamster wheel that we have imposed on ourselves and others have imposed on us. This has never been about freeing us from the Sabbath. For a people that is so bent over by endless doing and striving and achieving, Jesus liberates us from the hamster wheel. He crushes it and destroys it, and he frees us to stop running, to rest. Jesus frees us for Sabbath by banishing the destructive lies of an enemy who seeks to crush us from within our own selves. Jesus lays his hands on us and he says, you are set free from the lie that you will never be enough. You are already enough. Mine is a love that cannot be earned. You are loved more than you could ever know or possibly understand. You are enough. In and through Jesus, we have inherent worth, you see. This sets us free from the lie that demands that we say one more prayer, that we feed one more person, that we give one more dollar in that offering plate, and then, only then, when you do those things, will you be worthy of God's love. This is the lie that never allows us to rest. Now, I want you to hear me when I say this. This is not my command from me to you to go forth and rest. That is a painful or impossible decree to those whose situation does not allow rest. And there are far too many people in this sinful and broken world whose situation does not allow for rest. Perhaps you have multiple jobs to make ends meet, and even then you can't keep ahead of the bills. Or maybe you've had to delay retirement, or maybe you've had to go back to work. Or maybe you're a caregiver who has themselves no respite, no one to take care of you, no days off. So no, I'm not saying make sure you set aside one day a week for rest, because for some of you that is an impossibility. This is the error of the synagogue leader. This woman did not get a day off from being bent over. This synagogue leader, his zeal for the law turns Sabbath then into oppressive command. There are those for whom rest is an impossibility, and that might be any or many of you in this room. And there is hope. In Jesus' healing of this bent over woman, here is where we, and especially those who have no rest, find hope. Because even as we inhabit this sinful and broken society, even as we, this society which values and has a zeal for productivity and progress, even as it causes us and keeps us without Sabbath, without rest, as it keeps us shackled and bound, as it keeps us crippled and bent over, Jesus stands with us, ready to heal. Tomorrow could be that day, or maybe even today. And that stands counter to a world that lives in the extremes. And I wonder, is our extreme over here, which we think is so opposite of this synagogue leader, is our extreme over here of this inhumane synagogue leader just the same as his extreme, being that we act in ways that keep people in this world shackled in bondage and bent over? We say, one more day, it's fine. You can last until Monday. Jesus does not inhabit an extreme position. It is us who inhabits that extreme position. But Jesus, in acting humanely, in acting justly, Jesus remains centered in God's healing and restorative love for this woman and for us. A love which has never wavered. God's love has never wavered. Jesus acts to then pull us from the extremes, the hamster wheel, from the rat race, through his healing touch. And this is his compassion and his comforting words do the healing. He centered us then, and he makes us whole in his very own self. Jesus' message to us, what he says and what he does, this is not an extreme message. It ought not to be seen as extreme, even though we sometimes do. What Jesus says and what he does is a message not of extremes, but of enough. As in enough already, because you are already enough. It is from this place then of enoughness and of wholeness that we, along with this no longer bent over woman, it is from this place that we sing and then we shout and then we praise God. And it is from this place that we interrupt our worship, that we interrupt our rat race, we interrupt the ways of this broken world, knowing that Christ stands us upright. And that it is Christ who sets us free. And I'm going to need your help on this to close out the sermon. And I know that this isn't what Lutherans do, but we're going to do it, right? Because this woman interrupts worship at a synagogue by what? Praising God. So you all are going to say, thanks be to God. Andrew, I know that you yell really loud at the end of worship services, so I need your help. All we're going to say is, thanks be to God. I'm going to point at you, and you all say, thanks be to God, right? And Andrew, you're going to say, thanks be to God, right? Really loud. And all of you are, too. And if you don't say it loud enough, we're just going to keep doing it until we pick it up on all the microphones. Right, Randy? We need to max it out. Okay. And for that, we say,
thanks be to God.
And for that, we say, amen.
Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.
Today.
Pastor Sean, the family and friends of Chad Armstrong.
The family and friends of Chad Armstrong. Let us pray. Let us pray for the church, for creation, for the whole people of God, for God is near.
You call your church to proclaim liberation and freedom to all. Give wisdom to bishops, especially Bishop Eaton, Bishop-elect Curry, and Bishop Daniel, Synod councils and staff, and the elected leaders of this congregation, Beth, Kathy, Carl, Dennis, Dick, Marty, Ron, and Randy, as they pursue a more just and equitable church and society. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You satisfy your people with good things. In your steadfast love, receive the cries of all who are bent over under the weight of addiction, isolation, and mental or physical illness, especially Jack, Phyllis, Jack Jr., Dave, the family and friends of Chad, those who are on our long-term and homebound assisted living and mobility and limited mobility prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Manifest your healing presence in their midst. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You call us to delight in the Sabbath. Invigorate worship planners and leaders with creativity to aid this assembly in fresh and faithful prayer and praise. Embolden us to call, text, email, send cards, write letters, and knock on doors, inviting old faces and new to gather with us for worship in this space, that they and this community of faith might be blessed with the gift of communal worship. Enable all who gather here to be nourished and renewed and sent forth to visit those of this assembly who can only gather here in spirit due to health and mobility issues or other limitations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Confident then in God's presence and promise, we entrust our prayers to the one who always receives them. Through Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Peace, Brian. Peace be with you. Time we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks and praise to the Lord our God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all his choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before us. So let us take and eat, all of you, and be restored.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Sustaining God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can tell you all really liked that second communion hymn. That must be one we sing a lot. Lydia, I'm funny, okay? Announcements. Thanks to all of you, we have raised enough to purchase a commercial refrigerator, and that was approved by the council. So thank you all so very, very much for continuing to support our feeding ministries here at First Lutheran. Worship and music meeting not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, and just looking out a fairly long ways, but it'll come sooner than you realize. September 14th will be a joint service out in the vicinity of St. Paul and North Robinson, but not exactly at St. Paul and North Robinson. It'll be the cabin a little south of the school out there at Colonel Crawford for Shipwreck Sunday. So more to come on that, but just keep that in mind. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but I grew some flowers. I grew the ones from last Sunday also. Okay, maybe not. Somebody grew some flowers. Randy, are those your flowers? Randy is apparently a horticulturist of roses, and he provided the flowers on the altar last Sunday and this Sunday. I don't know how you grow roses. That's a really hard thing to do, but thank you for sharing them with us. Are there any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
forgives, heals, and redeems.
Who crowns with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies with good.
Go now and proclaim this good news, even on the Sabbath.
We will.